You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick.
Welcome back to The Purple Mystic podcast for the modern witch. Today, I am super stoked and excited. For those of you that are familiar with my prior channel, Witches of the Moon, you all will remember this delightful individual whom I am honored to call a brother and a friend, Nimbus River. Hello, Nimbus.
Hello. I'm so glad to be on.
It is so, we have not had a chance to sit down and really talk in a few months, and there's been a whole lot going on, not all of it great. We've already covered
It has been months. It really has. And I'm so glad to do this. And it's like I told you earlier today, I haven't had a good witchy chit chat in a while. So,
well, we're going to have a good witchy chit chat today, because today I want to get right into off our topic of herbal teas that we were discussing before getting started. That's for another podcast. But I want to get into talking about spell casting and enchantments. Specifically spells that you don't hear talked about a whole lot. There's a few videos out there on some of these, but I love to work with things like mirror boxes and enchantment boxes. Box magic is really fascinating to me, and you can combine it with other types of magic like candle magic and that kind of thing. So why don't you give a perspective? Bottle magic is another one, and you give me a great bottle spell that I'm not going to give out here, but I would like to talk about that spell a little bit. And, you know, let's talk about formulating and that kind of thing.
Sure. So, sadly enough, the first thing you when you talk about mirror box spells and bottle spells, the first thing that came to my mind, which is not my go-to, by the way, is malediction, only because you don't want to call it fun, but some of the most interesting ones I've ever formulated were not necessarily malediction in nature, but binding in nature, which in my opinion can be even more harmful than the average hex or curse. But
sometimes there's a time for malediction. Mirror boxes have been very effective for me in, you know, getting those people that are kind of not treating you the way they should be treated, or think that their shit doesn't stink, so to speak, and seeing themselves for who they are. And if that's malediction, then that's their own negative energy.
That's exactly right. So mirror boxes are almost like a loophole to people who do not prefer the darker arts, just because it's truly the object of the spell is getting what they put out. It is a faster reaping what you sow. And side note, I do not believe in, so when I'm speaking to you today, and you know me because you've known me so long, but just for your listeners, I don't believe in a certain reed or magical ethics that would prevent me from having any kind of effect. Truly and really, I do believe that any witch anywhere is essentially when you're affecting something, you are okay. For example, I use this all the time. When you're casting a spell to help get a job, for example, or advance in your career, oftentimes you're giving yourself a magical edge, which is ultimately going to
rub out
climb the ladder on top. On top of other people that. Sometimes, whether we like it or not, someone might be more qualified, but because you had the magical edge in the matter, you were the one chosen for it. So, you know, it's always going to be effective. There's going to be cause and effect most of the time. So when we talk about formulating these spells, really, you have to take into your own personal magical ethics involved. But specifically, since we mentioned mirror boxes, that is the loophole for most witches who don't believe in certain unsavory forms of magic. And like we said,
unsavory.
I do know
the term unsavory, because it can be absolutely savory.
It can be. It could be. So
Do need to consider consequences, because there may be unintended ones that you were not expecting.
And you have to consider.
So it's not done lightly, okay? Ever.
Exactly. You have to accept the consequences of the matter when you go into things like that. And that's part of that formulation, right? So right. like that's an element that you have to take into consideration. So I, being the herbal minded person that I am, I love to add my herb allies and my plant allies into something like a mirror box. And sometimes it is to enhance the effects. Sometimes it's to, you know, maybe speed it along a little bit, because, you know, sometimes depending on the spirit of the person, it may take a long time to get the point across, so right. to speak. We don't regularly.
I like sulfur powder for that, or Vesta powder.
Vesta powder. Absolutely. And I like, so this is not the average thing you're just going to come across, but like, we're Southern witches, both me and you. So right. gunpowder is something that we can get our hands on.
Absolutely. And for those that again, can't, fireworks, buy yourself a pack of black cats and open them suckers up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And you actually can formulate your own black cats if you need. I mean, if you need to.
Oh yeah, if you know what you're doing.
So now, many
would say be very careful when working with any material that is toxic and or flammable. I'm not recommending anybody goes out, you know, and lights a pack of black cats in their house.
Don't do that.
And I'm not saying go out and reap that water hemlock that's popped up around White Rock Lake. I wouldn't recommend you touch it.
No, let's be smart witches, right? Let's be informed witches.
Yes,
but
please.
Also, the chaotic energy that is exuding from this podcast is already insane. So,
yeah, I was going to say totally off the topic. I know the listeners can't see what I see, but that picture of your baby there, mighty cute.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yes,
he's adorable, and he knows it. It's a real problem.
Oh yeah,
you know you have three. You know this.
Yes, so. And a grandson who is absolutely the prince of this household to everybody who lives here, my husband included.
And wrapped around his little finger.
Oh, you know
Natalie
it,
Cedric.
Oh, absolutely. All he has to do is smile at his Mimi with his big blue eyes, and that's it. He gets whatever.
That's it. That's all that happens. So when we're talking about certain things that speed things along, when I think of plant allies, not just like you know, curios such as like a black cat, like black cat tablet, or gunpowder or sulfur, but also spirit, like physical plant allies that come
absolutely.
To mind. I love things that maybe not speed it along so much, but maybe will intensify the energy.
Bent.
So I often use spicy things, and so I really believe in the sympathetic areas of certain herbs and
absolutely
certain
I incorporate that too. For me, mint is a good one for getting something to move along faster, because it's so prolific in its growth in most cases. Now I have to tell you, I don't know what it is with me and mint in my garden, but I have two little sprigs that have cropped up from the mountain mint seeds I planted. Everything else, my tulsi, my calendula, everything's like mile high, and I have two tiny sprigs. I'm like, this stuff's supposed to take over the garden.
It could be climate, so just keep that in mind.
I know, it's been hotter than Hades.
Tulsi is incredibly hardy. Calendula can grow on a rock. So, these are things. But, okay, since we said that, so what's important about formulating, such as a mirror box, the two things that we just said, hardiness and how well something can like proliferate. So calendula would be a really good one, because and you don't want to call these things weeds, right? You don't.
Right.
But because I don't believe any plant is a weed. I believe everything is everything has a purpose. Yes. And so when I think of that, though, I think dandelions. Dandelions are fast.
Dandelions are wonderful plant allies mm-hmm. for speeding something like that along, especially if the person tends to be one of those people that doesn't see, like I said earlier, doesn't think their poop stinks, right? You know, mm-hmm. so they don't get the messages quickly because they're so self-focused anyhow, right?
Absolutely.
But not in the way you need them to.
And so for, you know, for your listeners that may be newer to practice, so a mirror box spell, I don't know if we exactly talked about what it actually is.
Let's talk about how you do that.
Okay, so I actually have you ever gone to the craft store and seen the their mosaic tiles with their mirrors?
Yes.
They're a great starter point.
I like the big flat sequins, because I use those also to reflect negativity in my house. I will hang those in the windows of all my homes to reflect back any negativity.
Exactly. And you don't even have to use a box per se. You can use a mirror spell with two pieces. That's it. That's all you need. So essentially what it is a spell that's formulated to reflect back the energy that someone puts out. So say that they're just really nasty and really mean, and you know, you're trying to teach them a lesson. But again, maybe hexes, curses, bindings are not essentially where you're going with this. Though I would say that a mirror spell is a form of binding. It is not binding them to any specific thing or binding them from something. It is just helping along their negativity to hit them back. And so think of, again, like, let's go back to, Witch 101. When we look at a mirror, we see a version of ourselves back at us. It's not our true selves. It is a version of ourselves. It has energetic principles. When you are casting a spell on yourself, it helps to look in a mirror while you do it. It helps. There are reasons why people have used mirrors since the incarnation of like the polished rock that right. used reflection in and magic. It's the same reason why people scry.
I want to make a point here about that too before I lose my thought train mm-hmm. of thought, because you are absolutely correct. And what I want to say about that is that the version we see of ourselves is often not the version other people see. We do not mm-hmm. see or perceive ourselves the way others do. So, you know, it's helpful if other people perceive that person the same way you do as well.
Absolutely.
Now, you're calling in their energy, but you're wanting to put, when you do the mirror box, you set up your mirrors or you set up your pieces, your reflections. I find it useful to have a picture of the person.
Mm-hmm.
When I do a mirror box, I usually actually use mirror pieces, although the mosaic's a great idea. The scar on my finger will attest to the fact that you got to be really careful. Yes. I usually use gloves, and I have a mirror that I have broken, and I'll use shards from that. But it's very careful. You need to be careful not to catch your own reflection in it mm-hmm. when you're working with it. And I think that's an important detail to make, because then that's going to reflect back some of you, and you don't want that for multiple reasons. But
would you shroud yourself? Would you, when doing it, would you shroud yourself?
I typically do it also at night where the light mm-hmm. cannot catch the mirror. But I physically glue the pieces of the mirror to the top and bottom of the box. I'll use like a mm-hmm. small jewelry type box. Yeah. And then I will put the person's picture in there so they are surrounded by the mirror. Now, another thing that I do, personally, me, is I do what's called a true colors spell sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my phone's going off over here. And that spell is designed to make someone show their true colors, because what I have seen is oftentimes people show one face to a group of people, and then to you they're showing another. So what I will do is use that. If you've ever been to Hobby Lobby, and I know Hobby Lobby's incredibly contentious for some people, but I find it delightful to walk in and buy 50 black candles. And when their little, you know, Christian cashier goes, "Oh, are you having a dinner party?" I'm saying, "No, I'm having a ritual." You know, the looks on their faces, just priceless. They're one of the few places I know to get those candles that when you burn them, they change color.
Oh yeah, which I love those. They're so
I will use those. Yeah. I use those to seal the box.
And here's the thing. We can shop at a place. That has things it doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they stand for. Personally, for me, it's not the Christian thing, because, you know, I'm very dual faith in religious view. So Christianity doesn't wig me out, and me and Jesus are, you know, good friends. So it's not a thing with that. But it's a bodily function, right? I don't care for their lobbying against women's rights and the right to choose what they want to do with their bodies. And so that's probably my problem with them. But I will go and spend my money with them, because, you know, if they have something that I can't get anywhere else,
right?
You know, it is what it is.
And like it or not, I'm witching on a budget, and a lot of times they've got better prices than Michael's or some of these other places.
And we probably have to get back to the main topic, but a lot of people are very straight edge about that, and I totally respect that.
Yes,
don't shop
absolutely.
Somewhere that doesn't align with your views if that's what you do. But let's not hate on people that do not contend with that. Because what if Hobby Lobby is the only thing you got around? Like,
exactly.
Not everybody's privileged enough to live in these large, you know, urban areas that have multiple,
options,
ethically sourced options. And like you said, sometimes when you're witching on a budget,
it is what it is.
I mean, same way. I mean, look, I also eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry, but it's like one of those things. But I do. I'm a true heathen because I crave it on Sundays. So
exactly. But definitely, yes. You know, the spell boxes and those multicolored candles really help. Because you can combine the power of the mirror box with the true color spell, you know, because you want to reveal their own true colors to themselves, which is going to make them look inward and do shadow work. So if you want to look at it from that perspective, you may actually be doing them a favor.
But as we know, shadow work can be messy.
Oh, it's very messy. That's for a different topic too.
I used to, a lot of times, would again take the two pieces of a mirror and put the two reflective pieces together inside with the picture of the person, and this is just a weird, probably OCD thing for me, but I would take and two pictures of them, one facing one reflective side, one facing the other reflective side. And I might add more specifics if I could, maybe if I could get my hands on their full name or get my hands on their birthday, and it depends on what you have. If all you have is a picture, you know, you're going to have to go with that. But if all you have is a name, that also works as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you just can't get an image. And it's funny you should say that. So when we're talking about, you know, the shadow self and the true self and the true nature when it comes to these mirror spells, right? Because sometimes what we reflect out into the world is not maybe our true selves. That brings me back to like your sun sign versus your moon sign, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, your sun, whatever your sun is, and normally our sun sign is whatever we say, like, are you a Pisces, are you a Gemini, or people think that that's the majority of the personality. In reality, there are multiple facets of personality when it comes to astrology, and another planet is your moon. And so an astrologist once told me when we were working together years ago, that your sun was what you gave out into the world. Your moon is what you hid.
Right.
And so if you can find someone's moon sign and use that in your working, that will really and also their sun sign.
Their rising and falling signs.
Exactly. Let's not forget about, you know, all of it in terms of the more you know about something, the better off it is. And that goes back to, you know, the rules of magic itself. Knowledge is the best thing to have control over something. It's impossible to know it's impossible to know something perfectly, no matter what it is. And you can study it forever and you're still going to not know its true nature.
Oh, yes.
But the more you know about its true nature, the closer that is, the better you have control over it and the better situation will happen for you. And you mentioned bottle spells.
So bottle spells. I want you to talk a little bit about the spell that you gave me, because that's definitely a maledictive mm-hmm. spell, but it's incredibly useful. Helped me to eliminate a highly toxic individual mm-hmm. out of not just my daughter's life, but he was affecting our lives, and he really needed to go. I think if he'd stayed with her much longer, he might have killed her, and I'm not kidding.
And what you just said right there, it was a necessary thing. So, you know, you don't go whipping out your wand and cursing people just because you want to. That's not, we don't do that. Nobody in their right mind does that. If they are doing it.
It's like never spanking a child in anger.
Exactly.
If spanking is your discipline, and I'm not opposed to that, as long as it's spanking and not beating, mm-hmm. there's a difference. But you never, ever do it in anger. You calm yourself. You tell them, what did you do? What did I tell you was going to happen, right? It's the same thing with magic. You don't ever just whip out some, oh, you cut me off on the road. I'm going to, you know, and here's the thing. What do we do when somebody cuts us off?
Okay, which is a curse.
In and of itself. Yeah, for those of you that, I'm sorry, this is an audio podcast. So I'm, you know, you flip the bird, right? That in and of itself is a spell. You have an intention behind that. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're putting that energy out there. So
absolutely.
I'm gonna let you talk for a second. So sure. Why don't you talk a little bit about that spell?
Absolutely. So for what we were talking about is a maledictive spell, but I want to have the caveat that just because it's maledictive in nature doesn't mean it's necessarily maledictive toward a person. You can use it to eradicate a situation. So I know the situation you're talking about, and you actually used that spell to target the connection between two people. You didn't actually necessarily target that person. You targeted the relationship. You wanted to essentially remove it. So the components of that spell are designed to weaken something, and it is a bottle spell. And it is using the good old, you know, it's a parasite, even though it's been called heal-all for years. Mistletoe is a parasite. It literally will suck nutrients out of its host and eventually harm it. So we can use the nature and the spirit of mistletoe to help, again, target something and weaken it. And in your situation, you targeted the relationship and the connection that two people had to weaken that. So it's maledictive in nature, but you destroyed the relationship and the connection to remove him out of your life. So let's be creative sometimes. But how that works and why I chose to do a bottle spill is because it's self-containing. So it's not energetic all over the place. It's specific, it's precise, and it helps you target and focus.
Right.
And that's why I like a bottle spell. And I'm not going to go into all the details because that is a personal spell of mine. And it has been publicly given to people. And I don't
back
have a problem
to Witches of the Moon.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been given out there, so I have no problem with it. It's not like a, you know, intelligent property for me, but it's too complicated to talk about on an audio podcast.
very but I wanted to talk about that because it's a form of bottle spell that I have found mm-hmm. very effective. So another thing that I wanted to kind of talk about is intention boxes, because mm-hmm. this was my little intention box. I chose this particular one simply because it was a cute box. I didn't want to throw it away, but my daughter's boyfriend gave me my Mother's Day present and that. And I was like, wow. So you know, I have my sigil on here. I have my intention written on the box, and everything that I have intended is right in this box. I actually am going to start selling some in my shop on Facebook.
I love it.
Because my sister gave me some delightful wooden cigar boxes that she got that have a slide lid. A couple of them have like top lids, but they're perfect for this. So intention boxes, I find a remarkable form of spell work because you can use them for just about anything. Love, a new job, abundance, joy in your life. You know, I want joy. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. Almost like a goal box, right? Mm-hmm. And so I find those to be extremely powerful because a goal, a dream written down becomes a goal, right? Then you start pulling steps and then... So I think that's very, very powerful as well. And I really think that that is, that they can be a useful magic as well, that you can also, again, combine. Because like I said, I've got my intention, but I also have a sigil. So I'm combining different forms of magic here, which make it just that much more strong.
Absolutely. I like an intention box. It's manifestation magic. It's goal oriented. It is whether you like them or not, and please roll your eyes, feel free to. But vision boards have been used since the 90s. Okay?
Wonderful. Yes. Tell me that's Oprah not Winfrey, magical.
Oprah Winfrey herself has used vision boards. So let's talk about how these very mundane things can lead to goals or can lead to action in your goals. But we take it a step further with an intention box, of course, because right. We're witches and we don't want to just clip out things in a magazine and put it on there.
Right.
We want to get creative. And so
but it shifts the energy. It definitely shifts the energy. And then every time you look at that box, it renews that intention.
I don't know if me and you've ever talked about this. I think I've probably spoke about it at some point, but I used to use a love, and this was a jar, but it's not a jar spell. It's more of an intention box. It's just, right. I use the jar as the vessel.
Right.
I used to have not exactly a love altar, for example, but it was more like a relationship type, little setup I had. I probably called it an altar at the time, but it is what it is.
Right.
However, when me and my wife started dating, I would get like little things of mine and hers relationship. We would put it, on this thing. And then I thought, well, let me do something with this. Let's go a step further. Let me use some magic on our relationship. And it wasn't exactly love magic per se, but it was an intention. So right.
In that relationship. So you're
I was in the relationship.
Keeping that relationship going and strengthening it. So it's not like you were out there against her will, right?
Right.
So.
And what I did is I used, again, it's going to go a lot back to herbs and crystal spirits and things like that. But I would occasionally write on little pieces of parchment, good memories, or
right.
we took a day trip to the beach.
Joyful
and I would just
times.
You know, yeah, capsule that and write it down, and I would put it in this intention jar. And inside that intention jar I had some baby's breath, and I had some chips of rose quartz and rhodochrosite in there, and some rose petals, probably from a flower that I'd given her at some point.
Right.
You know, these, and what would essentially happen, I used sweet orange essential oil and a rose absolute, because both of those can be used. Number one, sweet orange is really good for sweetening things.
Right.
And then rose absolute is good for a multitude of things, but it's a reminiscent of love. It's an old school reminiscent of love.
And orange is also a cleansing agent. So it clears out any negative energy. So like after a fight or an argument, it helps to kind of cleanse that out.
Boy, are we on the same wavelength? Yeah. Because what did I use this intention jar for? I didn't just use it as a magical tool, but also a practical tool. Because if we ever got into like a spat, or, you know, we were dating at the time, so nothing like marital spat.
Right, no, because then you're stuck,
Those get real fun. But I would, you know, I would, when I was mad or angry or upset, I would go to this jar and I would pull it out and I would think about all these good, joyful times that we had together. And it engulfed me in that sense.
It shifts the energy.
The energy of the plant spirits, the energy of the crystal spirits that were in there, and these allies all work together. And sometimes I would be alone in that if like I was a little bit more angry than her. And sometimes we would get it out together and we would read this and we'd be like, oh, again, do you remember how much fun we had? Or do you remember how good that burrito place was by the beach? Right. And then it, not only did it become an intention spell, but it also became a practical use to essentially, you know, get back on good terms.
And I think that's an excellent use of it.
Well, I love it too, because none of us need to forget that magic is only one part of the problem. You really have to put your practical air on it.
You do.
So, and honestly, everything that we talked about today has a sense of that. You not only do you have to use your magic, but you also have to put a little bit of mundane task into it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's great. So mirror spells, jar spells, vessels, spells of all kinds.
Very good. And really the vessel I don't think is as important as the intention and the working you're putting into it. But unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time for this particular podcast. So if my listeners are interested in getting more in depth with this topic and with our conversation, we're going to continue this conversation over on my Patreon only podcast, the Broom Riders broadcast. So if you want to check out my Patreon, that's the Purple Broom Apothecary. Just get in there with Patreon, check it out. And when you subscribe at the, I think it's not the lowest level, but the next lowest level, you get to download the podcasts. That's available for all levels, waning moon and above. So check it out. We are going to be discussing a few more things because I want to get into some sigil magic as well. So,
fun times. Thank you so much for having me on this.
I really appreciate you coming on here. This has been so much fun. So we'll see you on the other side.
All right.
All right.